Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. Does any hurt cut deeper than betrayal by one's trusted friend? Reminding us of Joseph's betrayal by his brethren in the first book of Moses, Psalm 41 ends the first section of the Psalms, which the ancient rabbis called the Pentateuch of David. So complete is the comfort of the betrayed one pictured in Psalm 41 that this first section of the Psalms concludes, as does each of the five sections, with a paean of praise. I am privileged to introduce A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. From the very earliest times, the Hebrew Scriptures were arranged into three significant groups known as the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings. Strong evidence indicates that the Psalms stood first in the third group. The Hebrew title of these divine lyrics points to praise. The later Greek title gives emphasis to music and poetry. The Psalms were intended to be sung. The Psalms are prayers also. To meditate upon their familiar lines is to discover how appropriately the various moods of the life of faith are mirrored in them. The relationship of prayer and praise is demonstrated to be truly integral. They contain, in addition, many prophetic elements pointing beyond the experiences and words of the composers to the one to come, the hope of Israel and the desire of nations. The Spirit of God and the divine purpose control fully every stanza. The book of Psalms falls into five divisions. Such a division forms a Pentateuch in harmony with the five books of Moses and the five Megillath or scrolls. We now consider the closing psalm of the first division, Psalm 41. Psalm 41 consists of four stanzas with three verses each. Verse 13 must be considered as separate from the four stanzas as it forms the concluding doxology to the first book of the Psalms. Each of the five books ends with a like expression of praise, clinched by a double Amen. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and Amen. The writer of Psalm 41 is King David. It has been noted often that those psalms attributed to David contain a pregnancy of expression, a beauty of illustration, and a power of condensing maxims of spiritual life far beyond the other composers. Although David was a great warrior, he possessed a special tenderness and compassion. Most scholars believe that Psalm 41 belongs to the time of the rebellion led by Absalom, David's son. It is thought that a period of illness had come upon David, enabling Absalom to point out the omission of many duties by David and to claim that the citizens of Israel were not receiving just treatment under his father's administration. The great betrayal by his bosom friend was, in such a case, none other than Ahithophel, David's chief advisor. The first stanza, verses 1 through 3, speak of the man who considers the poor and the weak, and of what God will do for such a man. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. This beatitude contains a very lovely series of promises. The word poor, as used here, means weak or helpless. It refers to a man who is down, at a low ebb. The word considereth implies not a mechanical response, but a giving of careful thought to the circumstances of this person's situation. To such a person who thus considereth the poor, there is given assurance of deliverance in the time of trouble and of protection in the life. He will become a living example to others of God's faithfulness and grace. God will not give him up into the will of his enemies. David knew about the fury of unreasonable foes. Last of all, a great issue is made of the fact of God's help and deliverance during illness. David knew well this experience also. The Hebrew word translated, "thou shalt make," carries the thought of turning. Thus God soothes the sick man that he may lie with more comfort and obtain some rest. What condescension the great God exercises to care for those who trust and obey him. The Lord does not promise freedom from all suffering and sickness. If there were no trouble, no sickness, no languishing, no despair, this beatitude with its promises would have no meaning at all. Undoubtedly, David remembered such a thoughtful man by the name of Barzillai, who helped him in his weakness and distress. With the great bulk of David's army following after Absalom, David left Jerusalem, passed over the brook Kedron, climbed the Mount of Olives weeping, descended into the valley, and fled finally across the Jordan. Then this dear man came with all manner of fruit and provisions to help David. Surely David, with a grateful heart, remembered this man when he wrote these words, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor." The principle comes down to us. Do you desire blessing for yourself? Then be thoughtful and considerate of others in need. It is possible to come to know and to trust God as David did. Would it not be a wonderful experience when laid aside, too weak to rise, confined to your bed in illness, to realize the Lord himself as smoothing your pillow, freshening your covers, and granting rest, not just of body, but of the soul? Now as we come to the second stanza, verses 4 through 6, David no longer meditates about the Lord, but speaks directly to him. "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me, when shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity, his heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it." The second and third stanzas are in the nature of a historical account. They record the prayer David uttered in his day of trouble. The prayer finds motivation in a statement of deep understanding. "Heal my soul, I have sinned against thee." Whatever the trouble, there is always some element of sin and guilt. David's case was very appropriate because he recently had committed his grievous double crime, the sin with Bathsheba and the arranged death of her husband. Yet David would receive more help from God against whom he had sinned than from his trusted friend whom he had helped. Psalm 51 records the full public confession and repentance of King David. Read it when you can. David's enemies were unprincipled men. More than personal enmity was involved. They desired his early death and the perishing of his line. Those who paid the courtesy of a visit to him in his sickness only gathered information to use in slander. The third stanza, verses 7 through 9, continues this historical theme and includes the record of a special betrayal. "All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth closely to him. And now that he lieth down, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." This describes the circumstances and activities of the revolt against David. His most trying experience, however, was the harsh betrayal by his trusted friend and chief adviser. Mine own familiar friend, who did eat of my bread, lifted up his heel against me. The final stanza records the triumph, the consolation, and the thanksgiving of David. His enemy does not triumph. Divine forgiveness, sympathy, and deliverance are his. Now the Spirit of God saw in the betrayal recorded in this psalm, as elsewhere in David's experience, the pattern or type of the occurrences in the life of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Thus, the treachery of David's trusted friend is a foreshadowing of the betrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas. Jesus said of his betrayal by Judas, that the scripture may be fulfilled, "He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." The prophet Zechariah even predicted the price that would be paid for the betrayal. "So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." Following his resurrection, Jesus Christ declared, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus also declared, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Will you believe and live?
Now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.